Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
All right, we are back once again on air. This is the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Pro me.
And yes, this is the show dedicated to all kinds of crazy, wacky music you've probably heard on here before if you've listened for more than 2 weeks, which we hope you have. But if you haven't, I don't know.
We have an archive.
Yeah, we do have an archive. You could do that thing too. Wouldn't it be great?
It's like our own Wayback Machine.
Yes. Wow. Tough weekend. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. Funny thing, right down the street from me, there's a Publix. And it's a nice Publix, you know, whatever. They're doing renovations and stuff like that. So they like redid the parking lot.
Yeah. I remember when they were doing that. Yeah.
And they only put half the lines in. It's complete anarchy. It's like the Wild West. If you think humans are any further up the food chain than like an ape, you're totally wrong, because if they don't put those like divider lines in the long lines, there's no concept. People are, I don't know what this is. Their car is just randomly strewn.
This whole thing is my lane now.
Fire and carts and children crying. And you're like, wow, you don't even know how to put a car where it normally goes without exact lines.
So God help you if you ever go to the arcade museum and they're redoing the parking lot and they don't have lines there.
Yeah, hundreds
that'll
die.
On a weekend, and that'll, yeah.
I'm sitting there.
For those that, you know, that was an inside joke for those who were here last week.
I'm just sitting there, like, because I bark like normal, you know. Now, granted, I have a little tiny micro clown car, but I know, I understand like how lines work, and I know I like a spatial
well, that's distances. Because you're a former graphic designer, so
that's, you know, probably what it is. Former, thanks, well, thanks, know, India.
No. Well, no, I mean you do different work now. No, you, I know, more you more administer.
Yes, but anyway, so now I'm just it's just one of those things for you. And I just stood there and I looked around a little bit, and there literally was like carts and cars, and they're like hanging out from the lines because they don't even know what to do anymore. There's not a guy with a little wand like at Disney. I don't know what to do without that. You know, and you're like,
there's some old white guy with really long white hair and a beard wearing a tattered white outfit and a sign saying the end is nigh.
Yeah, and you go, this is how close we are, huh? That's how close we are to complete anarchy. It's just one line away.
Well, you know, last year when we had the hurricane and we had a lot of us lost power, I remember going to the Burger King down the road here because it was one of the few places in the area that was open. Apparently they got a fresh shipment of frozen crap.
That's what they tell you.
And yeah.
Is it killing anyone? Nah, just keep serving it.
This was on like day three though.
Yeah.
You're like, and like whatever. 3 days without power, and people are flooded into this Burger King like it's like it's the Red Cross. I mean,
give me 3 cheeseburgers and some blood, please.
Yeah, the looks on everyone's faces of just like sheer relief, you know, like being in a place of electricity. I don't think it would take much.
Yeah.
I don't think it would take much to drive us down.
I only hope that the line painting guy came back the next day and finished out the job so we can have peace and tranquility in the Publix again. If not,
I hear they have buy one get one watermelons this week too. So,
oh yeah. My God, Gallagher is just going to be driving around buying, smashing them with hammers because we won't know what to do. It's anarchy. All right, here's music that isn't anarchy. It'll be pleasantly pleasing to your head and skull and brains.
Sing a little longer. are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Now, prepare yourself for the most gruesome and grotesque horror film experience of them all. The Bloodorama Shock Festival. Vampires, ghouls, half-human monsters, and creatures from the world of the undead all join together in one fright-filled, fantastic cavalcade of the weird and bizarre. Don't be afraid. See the Bloodorama Shock Festival, if you dare.
Wait, I got it. You could play with your magic nose goblin.
So, that was Midnight Smoke and Drive off of their single. I played Triple S, Moonrise Blues, and See You.
Now, is it smoke and drive as in smoke and drive, or is it like you got a car that's putting out a lot of smoke?
No, I mean, it's, I don't know. Smoke and drive. I think you're having a cigarette.
Is it like driving. Coffee and cigarettes?
Yeah, I think it's driving. Okay. Having a cigarette, okay. Driving on a moonlit road.
Okay.
There are some cool dudes and a nice gal that were a band I saw twice when I was over in Korea. And just had a few beers with them one night, and it was good times.
So the gal's not cool, but she's nice.
No, she's cool.
Okay, so she's some cool dudes and a cool gal who are all nice.
Yeah, she was smoking. She's really, she's something. Anyway, yeah, so.
A midnight drive.
Yeah. So I go, we have, where I work now has this thing called summer hours on a Friday. You know of this. Sort of.
This is like holiday weekend hours?
You leave at 2 on a Friday. It's like, I think for 10 weeks. They start it, and then it ends at Labor Day, then you're back. So
you've been on this for a while.
Every Friday, you can leave at 2, or when your work is done. You know,
That's the fine print there.
Well,
you can leave at 2 or 8, depending on how slow you are today.
Yeah, see, now this is ticky-tack, but we'll move on. So you have to take your computer home with you in case something pops up, you know. Which,
no, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Or now, is that so?
Okay.
Is everybody their salary, or is that
no? Let's
paid for those.
Let's let me finish this whole subject. So each department's different, and each department is either you can't do this, and then we give you 2 days off that you can take. You can do this at your own risk, or you can do this, or you opt into the 2 days. Now, if you take the 2 days...
Meanwhile, you're like, why even offer it?
You know? No, well, I'll tell you, taking days off is difficult in this position.
Yeah, I can relate.
And so the 2 days, and plus you're trading 16 hours for 33, if you do the math.
Gotcha.
Whatever. I'm not big into that stuff, but whatever. So the first couple weeks went fine. Went home. I left like 2:30. I did my job. I did what was right. And I call... The one place that I work for mostly, and let them know. Need anything? No? Okay, well, see you Monday. Cool. They're kind of in the same groove.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I had some guy pop, a sales rep pop up with these emergency BS things that were like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. We need food in tins for Monday. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. And I was trying to help him out, and I went home anyway, and I launched my computer, and I was talking him through stuff, and when they're not responding, I was like, yeah, because they live down here and they're on a Friday and nobody's working on a Friday. If you think anything after noon happens on a Friday when you put in orders, you're crazy.
Especially if you think it's going to happen on Monday.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the unrealistic. Like anything after noon on a Friday that's going to show up someplace on a Monday.
Didn't ruin my day. I was still just chilling, watching movies, whatever. It didn't affect me. I just do my job. This weekend, I come home. And there's popsicles on the floor because my refrigerator went to hell, which means it went bad. Like, it was dead. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, no. And then I opened it up and I was like, oh, nope, it's done.
Everything in here is garbage.
No, well, I saved a lot because I took it and ran out to my mom's empty house, put it in her freezer.
Oh, okay.
And then the frantic search for, well, we need a refrigerator right now, please. And then Lowe's didn't have it. But then the one up in Dunedin had it, so we went up there. Well, we can't deliver it. Oh, well, we can. So long story short is we had this refrigerator put in Saturday morning, and everything was back to normal. Bank account took a nice hit, $1,100. But it was like one of those things where you're like, 2 weeks in a row now, my Friday off has been essentially ruined, but I guess it's better than ruining my Friday night. Like, I can't begrudge.
And I would say that, you know, what happened this last week, was kind of a blessing that you had the time.
Exactly.
The one, I mean, the, now the thing that happened the week before where work screwed it up, that's different.
Kind of BS, but yeah, and I don't call it BS because you take what you take.
Yeah.
You roll the dice, but taking the days off was meaningless too, you know.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where I was like, I appreciate it, but it is quite the burden most of the time, you know. And they also, you feel, there's like an oppressive cloud of guilty feeling that people shun you with if you do leave. So most of us just kind of slink on out the side, you know, and we shouldn't. We opted. We said, yes, that's it. They said, do it.
And when your salary, the other thing too, is that it's never like the work goes away. I mean,
they're getting their hours.
You're not really. Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah.
Didn't need the fridge though.
Still have stuff you have to do, and it's got to be done either Friday or first thing Monday, or
they're getting
sometime
it.
Or sometime between midnight and 3 a.m. on Saturday, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So it was funny, but and then the worst thing, I'm pulling this old refrigerator out. We bought it at a scratch and dent Sears place down. It's still there, down 19, and across from where I don't know what her name is online. Who cares?
yeah, that person.
So. And we bought it 20 years ago. So we got 20 years out of this used, or not used, but scratch and dent refrigerator.
Refrigerator that somebody else decided not to accept.
Yes. And which is great, because then I said, well, realistically, it was the people that are installing it. They were like, how long is this going to last? And they're like, 7 to 9 years. And then the neighbor was like, 3 to 4 years, it'll be shot. I was like, well, crap. You know, it just doesn't.
Now, did you ever have it repaired or any work done on it, or is it just run?
I had fixed it a few other times. Mm. And it did a hiccup 2 weeks ago where it stopped working, and we cleaned everything off, and maybe it's just freezing up, and it worked again. And I was like, okay, so something was intermittent, but I can't run that risk. You know what I mean? So the second time when it went out, I was
good life.
We're done here, you know, and I took the doors off and some gremlin took it over the night, you know, and I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, you know.
I wish I could do that. Where I live, people put all kinds of appliances over by the dumpster and everyone just gets pissed because we got to pay extra to get it hauled away.
Well, they were like, we'll take it away for 20 bucks. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure I can get rid of this.
It'll be gone by dawn.
It always is. All right, here's some music. We'll be right back.
Hey, Napoleon, what'd you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines.
Did you shoot any?
Yes, like 50 of them. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
What kind of gun did you use?
A freaking 12 gauge, what do you think?
I've been talking and questions like, where should I be right now? And how? Lately you've had answers like, you should be coming over to my house right now, right now. When I get there, I'm so scared she might show me what I really am. Less than a man. And it's so true, what we go through, it's like dodging bullets or taking off our wedding band. We're so goddamn. Oh. the sun. I'm in love with everyone who knows my name. I I'm in love with this town, 'cause I'm in love with the sound we make. We all get together. Mystery can know when it's happening.
It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
All right, that was Mystery Machine off of their EP Mama's Boy. I played Mama's Boy, Questions, and Good Old Days. Wow. So, okay, this is a bit of a stretch, but maybe you can help me out think through this whole thing. I was thinking, if we had a time machine, could you go back in time and kind of coordinate that the Hindenburg crashed into the Titanic to sink it? That would be like combining the both disasters. Like, and it would only work if you had, like, you'd have to take that guy that was like, oh, the humanity, put him on a raft in the water so he could still say that stuff, because without that, it's just a blimp blowing up. But I mean,
now, are you high?
No. No. But it'd be kind of cool to, like, just compact all the disasters in one, you know, and, like, maybe. But they're different times, though. You'd have to, like, time travel. You'd have to grab the blimp and time travel. You'd also have
to have a reason to get the Hindenburg into freezing North Atlantic waters instead of the part of the world it was actually scheduled to go to.
You could just blame it on, like, a weather balloon or but you'd have to, like, time warp it to the Titanic. I think you could get it done if you'd have it, you know, it would take some thinking. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You know, I don't know. Like, if you're going to use a time machine for something, that'd be worth it, I think.
Yeah, of all the things you could do, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. You could
take Bob Saget back to meet Charlemagne, or you could, like, you know, smash the Hindenburg into the Titanic. And I just think it would be funny with that guy out there in the middle of a raft, like, why am I on this raft? Ah, the humanity is it. It, like, hits the Titanic and it double sinks, and then the band's playing on some door or something. You know, they always say that stuff. But then it would be, like, on fire. Like, the door, like, the band would be on fire as it was playing because of the gas from the Hindenburg. And I think that'd be worth it. What do you think?
We really got to do show prep.
We should whiteboard that idea. See if it's possible.
We need to talk about this stuff and work out plans before we hit record. I was afraid
to send you that thought before on an email, because then you'd probably Baker act me, and then it would be, hey, this is Promi, and I've just taken over the show.
And with me in spirit is Mal.
We've had it was a hostile takeover. I Baker acted him. And now it's my show, and it's now no longer.
But that only lasts for 72 hours, so you'd be back by next week.
Oh, see.
Maybe. Unless a judge says otherwise.
They might. And the listening audience might enjoy that break from me. You never know. You know, I always wondered about that. Like, when you think back, and this is a little bit more deep than we wanted to go, but it's all right.
Deeper than the Titanic?
Whoa, zing! We're gonna, this is going into an iceberg fast. With my new fridge, we can afford that great ice. It's going to be super cold. It made the ice cream so cold I couldn't carve it.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't realize you had a freezer that was subpar frozen.
I put the scoop in boiling water and it still wouldn't cut it.
So
I
was like, but isn't like frozen? Wouldn't that imply that your freezer wasn't completely freezing before?
I mean, must have.
Because I don't think there is. I think isn't. I could be wrong, but no, isn't frozen? Isn't frozen kind of like boiling? Like.
I think Schwarzenegger said, here's your ice cream zero, now plain zero. Sub-zero ice cream, now plain zero ice cream. It's a stretch. We'll, I'm not going to edit that part out, but you should just pretend I didn't say it.
So I was like, that was bad enough that it was worth stopping the show and cutting, but we're not going
to. I think my Schwarzenegger impression was bad enough to cut it from the show, but you know. I was like, what are you going to do? I was always thinking
content's
about that.
Content.
I was thinking about, like, on the drive home, you know, you, like, kind of think back to, like, different times. Like, you think back, like, when you're high school or when stuff happened in your life. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
You kind of, I do anyway, I compartmentalize, like, almost like time periods, like youthful innocence, high school, college, you know, like, and then, you know, then moving to Florida, stuff
like you're doing happens. A Wes Anderson movie or something where there's a little credit that pops up and says,
God, not a Tarantino though, so you're not throwing yourself back and forth. Oh, now yeah,
the timeline gets confusing
sick there. But I always kind of wondered, like, you know, like, okay, people that knew me in junior high and high school, I mean, they like, what you always want, like, what are their opinions? Like, do they think I was a stupid idiot or. Was like, you know, you kind of wonder, like, how people's impression of me at that time. Like, when I moved to Florida and I was a supervisor or a shift manager at, like, a Bob Evans. You know, what was I like back then? Did they think I was an idiot or was I a cocky jerk or was I just all right? You know, it's hard to get that kind of, like, impression of what people think of you, you know, during your different time periods. I'm pretty sure everyone from my hometown thinks I'm an idiot. I don't think I'm an idiot.
Well, joke's on them. They're still there and you're here.
I wasn't like a brilliant guy, but I wasn't like, I don't think
you did make dandelion wine.
I think I was
yourself short.
I was underperforming at that point in my life. And I was on a fast track to stupid town, but I always thought like, oh, you know, I went to college and I really tried to be a better person or something, but it was just weird. I don't even know why I thought of that. I mean, you ever think of that stuff or you're like, no, I don't
No, I mean,
I don't waste my time thinking about crap like that. It's meaningless, you know.
I worry too much about what everybody thinks today to think about what everyone used to think. But
that's a good, like, yeah, good point. Maybe I should care more.
Well,
about
no,
that.
No, you shouldn't, because that's then I wouldn't bring up the problem. Is that, you know, we shouldn't. Nobody should be thinking about that.
Maybe,
honestly,
if I was thinking about that, maybe I wouldn't think of things like, should I smash the Hindenburg into the Titanic?
Yes. But no, more so what I do is I kind of play mental butterfly effect. Yeah. Like certain events that seem pivotal, oh, that could have gone one way or another, or a choice I could have made one way or another, like the night I got into a bad car accident. Yeah. You know, the events leading up to that. I was on my way to Taco Bell, you know, and
what if you went to Burger King?
Or what if I had just, you know, done not my body something nice and stayed home?
What if I would have done the right thing and ate a vegetable?
You know, or certain person that you kind of liked when you were in high school, and you find out years later that the feeling was mutual, but neither of you ever wanted to act because you were both afraid the other one didn't feel the same way, and you were good friends, and
I would have
screwed things up. You know, like that kind of stuff. And then you think, well, you know, like. And you play forward, and you just imagine like how things would have been or could have been, and really, it's not always like a, oh, I wish it would have been that way, because there's give and take. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things you wouldn't have as a result.
I would go back and say, hey, young Mao, stop hanging out with Lori Pazo. You're friend zoned, but because the internet isn't invented yet, no one knows what friend zone means. But you are wasting so much of your energy and time on someone who could care less. You're a friend, but you're dumb.
But and that's not where you want to be, and that's where you're going to stay.
I would have enlightened me about that, and I would also told me to enjoy my time with my dad a little bit more.
But the question is had you shown up, would it have been like Biff from Back to the Future, where young you, dude, first of all, called, you know, had no respect, and then you had to put him in his place?
Well, I wouldn't
and,
punch
and,
my...
And then he does everything you tell him to, or do you think you'd still screw it up, or...
I'd give sage advice, but I'd also wouldn't punch myself, because I don't know if time cop laws apply. Oh, I'd be very concerned about that.
That's true.
I wouldn't want to be that big goopy thing that what's-his-name became.
Yeah.
But I would like say, okay, you're going to do these things, or I'm going to come back and kick you in the head.
You're like, see this 2x4? I can't touch you, but it can.
And then I would probably slip my dad the sports almanac and iggy him up about what the Back to the Future 2 was.
Yeah.
And I'd also tell him to buy the hell out of gold and stock for Apple. And he'd be like, what's Apple?
Like,
I'd be like,
okay, young pops, there's this movie that's going to come out in about another 15 years.
We're ripping that.
And in that movie.
We're ripping that off hard.
Right now.
In fact, here's a script. Write it. I don't care. All right. Here's music while we muse about what could be in my dumb head.
He hates these cans! Stay away from the cans!
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
All right. That was the Surfin' Surfers from their EP Surfers Surf. And I played East Link, Red River Rock, and Penetration. And I don't know what
to
say.
Did you spot check that last song?
Sure did.
Okay, just, you know.
I don't think Radio St. Pete Corporate is listening at this point, so I think we'll get a pass even if they didn't curse.
The probationary period. There goes my already broken phone again.
Oh, I hate these phones. Yeah. They're no good.
Hey, anyway. Let's make both sides of it out of glass. What could go wrong?
Yeah, no kidding. I'd be like, and then the future past me, there's this thing called the internet. Everyone loves it. And you're going to stare at your phone incessantly, and that's the dumbest thing any human can do. But you're going to. So, yeah.
Because if you stay away from it, everyone will think you're the Unabomber.
Right? Oh, I did break, and I started going on Facebook a little bit. Not. I'm trying to keep it in check, you know. But, what are you going to do, man? No. Oh, this is one topic I thought was kind of I was kind of curious about, because you might know a little bit more about it than me. What's the internet? No. I listen to a lot of the pinball podcasts, and every now and then a couple of them talk to the artists that do the work for the back glasses, mm-hmm. for the, you know, because that's an incredible undertaking, you know. And I had interviewed Dirty Donnie couple years ago. I think it was 2016 or something. I don't remember. It was very interesting. And, you know, I talked a little bit on past shows about the rock and jelly bean and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be nearly impossible to make a living doing that. But I don't know. Like, the rock and jelly bean stuff is so expensive. You're like, is this just, he knows the iron's hot, so he's making $1 million now because he knows it's only going to last a couple of years? Or like, it's rare when somebody is popular for their entire career, like that they can just keep. Even like Ratfink was 3 or 4 years, and he was a sign maker for that something farm out in California. It's like a famous farm, but I can't, like, not the ranch where Manson was or anything like that. It's like a real job. But I mean, it just seems like when you hear these guys talk, it seems so, you know, impossible.
Well, you know, I think it's a lot like a lot of other economies of scale there, like whether you're talking about like artists or whether you're talking about like sports figures
or music
or anything else. For the majority of people, they will never make a full living at it. There are a small subset that will manage to eke by, living maybe an average life, maybe a little bit of a life of hardship, but funding it completely
like
by
photographers.
Their work.
Remember, your friend left to be a photographer.
And it's the exact same thing. And then a very small group of that group will go on to be bigger, will be able to sell their pieces for lots of money. You know, because the high-end game on things like even Rock and Jelly Bean is he produces a piece. I guarantee you this is how it works. He produces an original piece, and the prints get made from that original piece, limited edition prints, that end up getting sold and then
he
resold.
He says 100 of these are going to get made.
And then they get sold, and then they get resold to galleries. And like someplace out in Vegas will have one that they're trying, a print that they're hawking for like $8,000.
Yeah.
That original piece is worth, you know, God knows how much.
And he'll sell the original.
And he'll sell all of it. Yeah. But the point is, though, is that, you know, because he's got a name, he and he's got a good manager, and there's a business strategy behind it all, he can make one piece and then milk that piece for multiple things.
Yeah. I like Coop. Those are the Devil Girls, you know, those ones I always have. And, you know, and I always try to support these guys because I like them. I like that artwork. I like that. I mean, I can't put the stuff I like out because it's lowbrow. There's nudity and stuff like that, and I just can't have that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind it. You know, it's one of those things where I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But which I don't know what my hang up is about that. But it's just one of those things where I just don't want to be the weird guy that has all the nudity around his house. So, yeah. You know, but I love the artwork. I love the stuff. It's just I also can't afford $8,000 print.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I can get something that Dirty Donnie did or something that, you know, Rock and Jelly Bean did. It's just not in my I can't afford it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, but, I understand completely.
It's just such a weird thing. And I just think about that, like, how would you sustain? How could you do it? You know, and I guess you just, you can't.
Most people don't. Most people can't. There's a few that can, which is what creates the dream for everyone else that never will.
Right.
You know, I remember reading something one time, and they were talking about how, you know, like, a lot of successful people will say that it's important to follow your passion. That following your passion is the key to success because you're going to blah, blah, blah. And the thing they pointed out was that worked for them, you know. That worked for Bill Gates, that worked for Steve Jobs, that worked for Elon Musk. That doesn't work for 99.9% of the people that go down that path. But when you see these few people that are the standout icons that succeeded, it looks like that's the path to success. And you don't realize that they are the exception to the rule and not the rule.
Oh, hardcore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all we're going to be able to talk about this weekend. Maybe if you listen to our next show, you know, Sakibamagogo, maybe we'll talk more about it. I don't think we're going to, though. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Promi.
See you next week with more Indie Circuit Madness.